Turn your Bibles once again to the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. Ephesians in chapter 5, if you would stand for the reading of the word. I'm going to read verses 15 through 21. We've been in a series now, and we looked at walking in wisdom from verses 15 through 17. And now we are at being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit, as it were, in verse 18. And we said there's three things about verses 18 through 21, that there is the command, there's the contrast. The contrast we looked at last week, this week, and next week, Lord willing, Deo Valenti, we will look at the command itself, and then we will look at the context. But I'm going to read verses 15 through 21. Hear the word of the Lord. This is God's word. This is something that is inspired by the Holy Spirit, yes, through the hands of men, but they were led along by the Spirit, and these are God's very words to us. They are potent, they are powerful, and they are necessary. Ephesians 5, starting with verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, Father. Those words that you would want us to hear, bring through me. Those words that would only be from me and not from you, take from me. Show yourself strong in your people today and call out more people for your name. Through this message today, and as it's listened to in any other time, Lord. As you would be, Lord Jesus, so let me be. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now again, we started from verses 15 to 17 talking about this wise walk, that it is careful, that it is redemptive. It's making the best use of the time. It's perceptive, and it is submissive. And then we looked at the primary example of that. Don't be drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. The worst, least wise thing you can do with the most wise thing that you can do. And we said last week that we're looking at three things. We're looking at the contrast, the command, and the context. And last week we looked at this contrast about being drunk and about being filled with the Spirit. And we talked about the fact that this being filled with the Spirit is not what a lot of people pretend or promote it as an event. But it is an endeavor. Now, we are going to take next week, and we will look at these Greek words, and we will look at every instance. I believe there's 14 of them throughout the New Testament where it talks about being filled with the Spirit and be able to decipher and really determine what this really means. Today, we're going to look at the meaning of it. Next week, we'll talk about, Lord willing, how to experience this filling of the Spirit. But again, just like with wisdom, wisdom is not a place you find. Wisdom is a walk that you're on. Being filled with the Spirit is not an event. You will see events where it looks like they were filled with the Spirit in an instant, but that's not what he's talking about in Ephesians 5:18. There's some other things that he's not talking about in Ephesians 5:18, so we're going to take some time today to look at what it is not so that we can clear up any of the mess. And we don't have to be super perfectly precise on all our theology and all that, but the fact is the more you know about something, the more you can appreciate something. And this is a command that is required of Christians. It's not a salvation thing. It's a sanctification thing. It's a glorifying God thing. It's a thing so you're not as miserable in Christ rather than joyous in Christ, etc. So again, last week we looked at the context, and I would admonish you, go back and read those notes, listen to that again. Study it. Study it. Study to show yourself approved. A workman that need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing, rightly discerning, rightly interpreting the truth. That's what awana means, by the way. A workman, approved workmen are not ashamed. So we're looking at the command, be filled with the Spirit. Now the way we can continue to experience and walk in the new life that God gives us when we are born again is by continuing to be filled with the Spirit. It's crucial. What we talked about last week, we said that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and you experience them inside first. They are feelings. They are emotions. They play on the outside. And so we talked about this control, this order, this purpose, that being filled with the Spirit, that the Spirit brings to you as opposed to what drunkenness does to you. Gets you out of control, right? Yes. And so we talked about that. So To be filled with the Spirit is crucial to the controlled, ordered, purposeful, and productive spiritual life. And then we saw that it's the foundation for godliness in our marriage, home, and work relationships. Everything he says following verse 21, from verse 22 all the way through chapter 6, verse 9, has to do, is predicated upon being filled with the Spirit. And then it's obviously a necessity in successfully engaging our spiritual battles. Chapter 6, verse 10 and 18, we never think about that. And when we talk about being filled with the Spirit in the context of community, you're going to realize something. The full armor of God is something he's talking about with us as a group. First, not as individuals. I'm going to shake the trees a little bit here in the next few weeks. Because the fact of the matter is what happens to you matters to me. What happens to me matters to you. And we are a local community. And it, you know, this whole, we're the body of Christ, but not members in particular anywhere. That doesn't happen, folks. Now, in a very real sense, we've got to obey this command. Be filled. And it means be being. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. We'll cover that. I'm so excited, I'm just getting ahead of myself, but it's an obvious necessity. And to obey this command to be filled with the Spirit, you've got to obey that if you're going to obey any other commands in life, in the Bible, of God. Yet this command is widely and often misrepresented, misapplied, or missed altogether. So in order to gain a correct understanding, we're going to examine the meaning of this command, and then in the next message, Lord willing, we'll look at how to experience it. So again, to answer the question of meaning, it helps to find out what being filled with the Spirit is not. Okay, are you ready? All right, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. And again, if you're not there quick enough, that's okay. We have this all written down. You can just listen in. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. First of all, the filling of the Spirit is not the same thing as the baptism of the Spirit. Can you hear my voice? Yes. All believers, all, someone say all, pas, all, believers are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ at conversion. Where do we find that? 1 Corinthians 12, 13. It says, for in one Spirit. By the way, that Greek preposition is en, and it means what, by, with, for, in. Don't choke on the hors d'oeuvres. It's the same thing. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, hallelujah. And all were made to drink of one Spirit. Again, in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, Paul speaks of this baptism of the Spirit as having happened to all believers. And it's spoken of as a past event. Ephesians 5, 18 exhorts believers to be filled. It doesn't exhort them to get the baptism. The baptism is a one-time occurrence, while being filled is an ongoing objective. It's kind of like this, and I'll get ahead of myself, but let me paint the picture for you. Ribs plus F. Regeneration. In other words, you're born again. That's why you believe, by the way. Did you get born again because you believed, or did you believe because you got born again? Think about it. Otherwise, who's doing the work? So regeneration happens. Then he's indwelling you. He baptizes you into the body. You're adopted, right? Then he seals you. And the sealing is not like a bottle where you're putting the cap on. Sealing is like a stamp. Like the king used to use a signet ring, and he would put his seal on something, like a document. The court documents are sealed, that type of thing. Then those things happen at conversion, the ongoing experience, the ongoing endeavor, not as an event, not happening at conversion, but after conversion as we begin to keep on being filled with the Spirit, by the Spirit. So first of all, hopefully I've made myself clear, the filling of the Spirit is not the same thing as the baptism of the Spirit. And by the way, once you clear these things up, and you can listen to our sermon, Missing the Point of Pentecost, this whole idea that some Christians have and some Christians have not is against the whole point. But let me keep going here. Secondly, so first of all, filling of the Spirit, not the same thing as the baptism of the Spirit. Baptism of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Secondly, the filling of the Spirit is not the same thing as what I just mentioned, the sealing of the Spirit. Let me read Ephesians chapter 1. Anybody with me? This is good information. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Again, the filling of the Spirit is not the baptism of the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is not the sealing of the Spirit. Because otherwise you come across these words and you go, oh, is it the same thing? What's going on? No, these are definite things. They're different, though. Ephesians 1:13 speaks of this sealing as having happened to all believers at conversion. Again, let's say all. All. And it's spoken of as a past event. You do not have to be sealed numerous times. Again, it's not like a Coke bottle that you're sealing and then opening back up and taking a drink, sealing, opening. No, no, no. It's like a stamp. God's the ultimate mailman, by the way. You may have bruises and bumps and scars and struggles and all that, but if he's got a seal on you, you will get delivered. Amen. All the way to heaven. So it's happened to all believers, spoken of as a past event. Let me read some scriptures I wrote down here so we don't have to run to them. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says, "And who has also put his seal on us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." Same thing there. "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." We'll receive our new glorious bodies. Amen. This is the down payment he speaks of. All right. Ephesians 5:18, once again, exhorts believers to be filled. It doesn't exhort them to seek another sealing. Let's say, seek another baptism. Seek another sealing. I know people mean well when they say that, but let's be a little more correct about this so we can really get a handle on what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Are you with me so far? The sealing, just like the baptism, is a one-time occurrence, while being filled is an ongoing objective. God placed the seal of his ownership on all believers when they were saved. You are mine. You know, he talks about this type of event in Galatians 4 and Romans 8. Galatians 4, he says, he sent the spirit of his son crying into our hearts, Abba, Father. Then Romans 8 talks about us crying out, Abba, Father. He says, you're mine. And when we get in trouble, we say, you're mine. This sealing, we are his. We have the family crest upon us, as it were. Do you understand that? Again, there's no command to be baptized by the Spirit in the New Testament. There is none. And there's no command to be sealed with the Spirit in the New Testament, because it's something that God does at conversion. The command is to be filled with the Spirit, which is something else. Let me get ahead of myself. This word in the Greek is pleroo. Pleroo means this permeation, this filling, this control. That's what he's talking about in Ephesians 5:18. These places where you see they were filled. And then, wait a minute, in Acts 2:4 they were filled. And then Acts 4:31, the same people were filled again. And that word is pimplemi. And that's an event. But that's only just a few times in the Bible. And those people that were walking on the pleroo road are the ones that got the pimplemi kind of stuff. Excuse me for going over your heads or whatever. But the point is that's not what he's talking about in Ephesians 5:18. He's not saying, go seek after this experience where you feel like, woohoo, Jesus. Now, I like me some, woohoo, Jesus. But that's not what he's saying to do here. He's not saying every time you go, woohoo, Jesus, that's when you're filled with the Spirit. And just keep seeking that like it's a fix. He's saying you're walking in this wisdom. You're walking carefully, perceptively, redemptively, submissively. You're not doing the things of the old life. You're doing the things of the new life. That is walking by the Spirit, which is the same thing as filled with the Spirit. Amen. That's what walking by the Spirit is. That's what filled with the Spirit is. They're the same thing. Galatians 5, verse 16 through 25. That's what he's talking about. That's the same thing. The baptism of the Spirit is something that happens when you're converted. You're baptized by one Spirit into one body, then placed into the body of Christ. The sealing of the Spirit is his seal of ownership upon you. You don't find commands for that to happen. It is a past event. It has happened to all believers. But now you might ask a question. You say, well, what about these people like Bezalel in the Old Testament, or Gideon in the Old Testament, or Samson in the Old Testament, where the Spirit clothed them? You could read it in Hebrew. He came upon them, and they did these mighty deeds. That's what I want, baby. Okay, we can talk about that, but the fact is, that's not what he's commanding us to do in Ephesians 5:18. The command to be filled with the Spirit is not the same thing as the empowering of the Spirit that we see in the Old Testament. And again, I put a bunch of verses here. We won't take the time to go to them, but you see it all throughout the Old Testament. The Spirit came upon people to empower them for a specific work of service. By the way, that's what you see in the New Testament too. That's what it is when you see Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, got up and said something. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, I magnify the Lord. Paul, filled with the Spirit, said, I blind thee, wretched scum. You know, Acts 13. You know, so that's the thing that happened. That's what we think. That's not what he's commanding us to do. He's not saying keep seeking those things where you're like, whoa. That's not what he's saying. Those things, they didn't ever seek them. They just happened to them. They were seeking to continue. They were filled, like when I'm filled with rage. Filled with the Spirit, you see? That's what he's talking about. I'm just filled with joy. They're filled with the Spirit. That's the type of thing he's talking about. This thing that's controlling you. Now, I could say, boy, Ed said something to me and I'm just filled with anger. Now, is every little part of me filled with anger? No, but is it what's controlling me right now? I'm seeing through those glasses. This is what's going on. That's what he's talking about. It's not an event. It's an endeavor. Be being filled with the Spirit. Keep walking by the Spirit. So we know that it is not the baptism of the Spirit. We know that it's not the sealing of the Spirit. It's also not the empowering that we see in the Old Testament. Again, He came on Bezalel to make the tabernacle. He came upon Gideon or Samson or Jephthah to do their mighty works. He also came upon the writers of Scripture and the prophets. We find that in the New Testament. 1 Peter 1:11 says it this way. Inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them. You say, oh, but see, the Old Testament saints were indwelt. Not in the same way. This was them coming upon, him coming upon them to do something. It says what? Indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. These are the prophets. He came upon them so that they would do what? They would write Scripture. We find that again in 2 Peter 1:21. By the way, get the notes. Study it out. You're going too fast. No, I'm not. You can do it. I believe in you. Why? Because if you believe in God, I believe in you. And the most important thing in the universe, you got Jesus, just like me. I got something money can't buy, poverty can't lose, no one can steal, death can't stop. I'm not going to mess up, and we're all a part of. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1:21 says, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You see, that Old Testament empowering was going on. And we see some of it after Pentecost even. But the permanent indwelling of all believers with the Holy Spirit began with the New Testament church age. Did you realize that? They weren't indwelt the same way that we are. Jesus talked about it as much in John 7:37. He said, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, he had said this about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were yet to receive, for as he had yet not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, you can say, well, see, wait a minute, Jesus isn't telling the truth, because John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit. What about Samson and Jephthah and all the people we talked about? You see, it's something different there. The new covenant, there's this indwelling of the Holy Spirit that had not yet happened. There were still these empowering moments, but that is not what he's telling us to do in Ephesians 5:18. And he's not telling us to seek this indwelling, by the way. That also happens to believers when they're converted. Let's read some more scripture. Again, the Scripture, the Spirit is around these men, the disciples who became the apostles. And Jesus was talking about him leaving and the Holy Spirit coming. And he said this, I will ask the Father, John 14:16-17. Anybody awake? Yes. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him. He was already around, already doing empowering their works. For he dwells with you and will be in you. We find the promise of this New Testament, this indwelling in the Old Testament in Ezekiel chapter 36. Verse 26 says, I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I'll put within you. I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. So, this being filled with the Spirit is not the baptism of the Spirit. That's what happens in conversion. You're baptized into the body of Christ. Being filled with the Spirit is not the sealing of the Spirit. That's the Lord's ownership of you. That happens when you're converted. The filling of the Spirit is not this Old Testament empowering of the Spirit. It is something else. Fourthly, it's not this indwelling that we just were talking about. Ephesians 5:18 is not speaking of the Holy Spirit coming into a person's life. If someone is saved, they already have the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:9 says, if you have not the Spirit, you're none of his. So many verses I could multiply here, but I'm not even going to go into them. The fact of the matter is that all believers are indwelt by the Spirit. They are regenerated, so they're born again. They're indwelt. They're baptized. They're sealed. Now the command is to be being filled with the Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't come in doses. You received all of him when you trusted Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's fully resident in all Christians. We don't have to ask for him or for more of him. I'll tell you, the problem is not that we need more of the Spirit needs more of us. That's the issue. But the filling of the Spirit is not the baptism of the Spirit. It's not the sealing of the Spirit. It's not the Old Testament empowering of the Spirit. And it's not the indwelling of the Spirit. We are never commanded to do those things. You never see that. These things are things that happen when you believe. But we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. So, in light of that, let's notice several things about this phrase. But be filled with the Spirit. What is the meaning if it's none of those things? First, I want you to see that it's personal in nature. Personal in nature. It's not about a force, a power, or a substance. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. who is God, and who exerts control and influence over our personal lives. Now, the Bible does use this term, he was poured out upon, to describe the Spirit's activity. But this is just for the purpose of illustration, to help us understand how he affects us. Just like when the Bible talks about he will hide us under the shadow of his wings. Is he a bird? No. So it's used in terms that we can understand. He was poured out upon them. All right? So it's personal in nature. It's also plural in number. This, you can't read it, but in the Greek it means, but be being filled with the Spirit means it's you. Your King James will say that. But you, it means yous, us. The filling of the Spirit is for everyone, not just a privileged few. This isn't like, oh, some people have it and some people don't. You better pray for it and wait for it and everything like that. No, you walk in it. It's for everybody. Then maybe those empowering moments will happen to you. I'm not denying that. But is that what he's asking us to ask for and seek and all that in Ephesians 5:18? Definitely not. We'll cover this a lot more next week, so stay tuned with that. But the fact of the matter is, it's plural in number. It's not about haves and have-nots. Everybody's supposed to be a have. Now, do some people do more than others? Yeah, we're going to get to that. That's why he's got to command it, because not everybody's doing it. Amen? Now, it's in the imperative mood. What does that mean? It means it's a command. It's a command. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not optional. It is obligatory. If we are obeying, if we are doing our prayers, eating our vitamins, all the Hulk Hogan stuff, whatever, right? You're doing the spiritual stuff. You are walking with God. You're walking by the Spirit. That is being filled with the Spirit. It's a command. It's obviously, you know, see, we have this problem in the church. Everybody can say, it seems even less and less people are actually saying, but people can just say, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm regenerated. Oh, are you regenerated? Then how come there's no fruit? You can be justified, declared righteous, but he does more than just cause you to be born again in the sense of, now I'm going to heaven. He calls you born again, so now you don't act like hell. Not how far, how fast on the line you are, but are you on the right track? Is something going on? And he says, if you're keeping on that track, you keep going forward, you keep walking according to what the Bible is telling you to do. You're being filled with the Spirit. A Spirit-filled life, and I said this before, you can look at the parallel passage in Colossians 3:16 and 17. A Spirit-filled life is a Word-saturated life. So again, it's personal in nature. Holy Spirit's a person. It's plural in number. It's for everybody. It's in the imperative mood. It's a command. And it is in the present tense. The command is literally keep on being filled with the Spirit. Again, it is not an event. It is an endeavor. He's not saying be full of the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is something that we're to be continually involved in. Are we hearing me? Yes. It's not a momentary experience where we get zapped. See, that is the false teaching. That is what we say. Be filled with the Spirit. We think it means the ugh. And I know I'm being a little silly here, and I like the ugh myself just as much as anybody else. But it's when you're walking along, be filled with the Spirit, then the ugh happens. Right? I'm not denying any subsequent experience. I'm not worried about that. That's not what he's talking about in Ephesians 5:18. That's what we're studying. Be being filled. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep getting away from your old life. Keep walking towards the new life. That's what it means. Goodbye. Again, we're going to study next week all the instances of being filled with the Spirit and show you the difference between pleroo and pemplemi and why what he's talking about here is not an event, it is an endeavor. And it's not keep seeking this event, keep seeking this event, keep seeking this event. And that's what being filled with the Spirit is. So, you know, I've been knocked down in the church 17 times, so I'm more spiritual than you've been knocked down 13 times. That's not what he's talking about at all. He's talking about what's happening out there. But he's also talking about what's happening here amongst one another. Woo, when you see that. When we get to verse 19 through 21, you realize that this filling of the Spirit is not just an individual thing, it's a corporate thing. That's going to blow your mind. So it's not a momentary experience where we get zapped. But I see in this Bible where Acts 4:31, they were the same people and they got zapped. Yes, and we'll talk about that, but that's not what he's talking about here. It's not a crisis experience that has an ongoing effect. I was filled with the Spirit, and now I never sin again. Those people are wrong, by the way. Just cut them and they'll cuss at you, and then you know they're not filled. Sorry. But it's a lot of hocus pocus. He's not talking about hocus pocus here at all. He's talking about living like a Christian. Living like a Christian is being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Am I making myself clear? It's not a power encounter for a specific purpose. Does God still do that? Yes, of course he does. Of course he does. Are those moments where you feel especially filled, you feel full of it? You know, and I was turned around. Ted was shouting and hollering a little bit today, and I thought, well, he's just ready to pray over the offering. I said, Lord, do we have an extra 5 minutes? Because he's going to go. But that's fine, right? He was full. He was ready to go, right? That's what it's talking about here. It's talking about you're always, and this is the overflow. So sometimes those events may happen, but that's not what we're supposed to be seeking. We're supposed to be living in the light of it. Again, it's not a power encounter for a specific purpose. It's an ongoing state, which is characteristic of a lifestyle. Remember Acts chapter 6, verse 3 through 5, they said, find us men that are full of the Holy Ghost. Now, do they say, okay, when's the last time you talked in tongues? Okay, when's the last time? Okay, well, here, there he is on the floor looking like he's having a conniption. That's the guy. Again, I don't mean to be rude. I'm just saying. Who were they looking for? The men that were godly men. Those are the ones that are filled with the Spirit, the godly men. It says, Stephen, a man full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Barnabas, in Acts 11, 24, said he was a man full of the Spirit. Does that mean they caught him? Every time they caught him, he was always having his little event? No. It means the general characteristic of his life, the walk of his life, was a Spirit-filled walk. Amen? You can't rely on a past experience, a past event, a past filling. It has to be a continuous filling. It is a process. The Holy Spirit's filling us when he's leading our present activity. Again, it is not an event he's speaking of. It's an endeavor. Let's say those two words. Event. Endeavor. Do the events happen in your life? But you just don't know. I was there, and I was in this foreign country, and then I did this. Yay! I don't have to deny any of that. Is that what he's talking about here? I've said that about 50 times. I'm going to keep saying it. I want you to make sure that you get that. It's not an event. It's an endeavor. Now, it's true that we see instances where the filling of the Spirit is seemingly an instantaneous event. Acts 4:8, Acts 4:31, Acts 13:9, we'll cover those next week. But a filling of the Spirit wasn't a specific thing even then that they sought. And being specially empowered for a specific moment isn't what Paul's describing here in Ephesians 5:18. How do we know that? Many reasons, but one of the reasons is, what does he say after that in the text? From these instances, it's obvious that a person is filled with the Spirit when he's under control and empowered by the Spirit. A specially empowered moment might happen in the context of a person who is already under the influence of the Spirit. Boy, I'm full of drinking, so I might have an experience where I get the beer muscles and hit someone much larger than me. But I wouldn't get the experience and hit someone much larger than me at all unless I was under the influence. Same thing. Sometimes those moments might happen, but it's generally speaking when you're already under the influence. This was from our book, The Fellowship Files, which I can give you a copy if you don't have. Some people urge this as the answer to all our struggles, being filled with the Spirit. And in truth, it is what we need, to be filled with the Spirit. However, this is not speaking primarily of some instantaneous event, but rather a process, a lifestyle, as clearly seen in the verses that follow, 19 through 21, which show the context of being filled. Again, parallel passage, Colossians 3, 12 through 17. The truth is that all Christians are Spirit-filled to various degrees. Being filled is a process. It can be an instance, but it's spoken more in terms of what's going on in your life, what you're being filled with. The fruit of the Spirit is indicative of how much you are filled. Fruit of the Spirit. Fruit means produce. We talked about that. So it's personal in nature. It's plural in number. It's an imperative mood. It's a command. It's in the present tense. And it is in the passive voice. What do I mean by that? Active voice, I'm tying your shoe. Middle voice, I'm tying my own shoe. Passive voice, you're tying my shoe. The Holy Spirit is doing something to us. It's not something that we're doing. We're walking and he is filling us with the Spirit. You don't do it, you receive it. The filling of the Spirit is not something we achieve, but something we allow, if I could say it that way. Certainly we're active in our role. We do have a choice in the matter. But it's the Spirit's work in us. In the New Testament, you don't find people praying for the filling of the Spirit. Now, you can pray that God would empower you and all that. I understand that. But you see people traveling towards or away from the filling. The command is to choose it, to allow yourself to be filled with the Spirit rather than filled with your selfish interests. The Spirit works through our willing submission. And again, I mentioned this before and I'll do it again. It's instructive to realize that being filled with the Spirit is synonymous with walking by the Spirit. That's what he's talking about. Those are the same things. If you're walking by the Spirit, you're being filled with the Spirit. Again, Galatians 5, 16 and following. Similarly, when we consider what we talked about with walking in wisdom, verses 15 through 17 of this text, it can be said when you're walking in wisdom, you're walking by the Spirit, and you're being filled with the Spirit. Being filled is a process. Step by step, decision by decision, thought by thought, moment by moment, day by day, you are yielding control of your life to Him. Of course, nobody stays full of the Spirit all the time. Amen? It's true. Amen. All you got to do is talk to me 5 minutes, you get angry at me, and then you won't be. But because no one's totally submissive to God. No one's totally submissive to God. Nevertheless, this should still be our aim, our goal, our great longing. We have to keep on being filled. That's what the goal of the Christian life is. Now, it's obvious that all Christians do not have the same degree of spirituality, of wisdom, of submission to the Lord. It's obvious in our own lives as well that at certain times we're either more submitted or less submitted to God. The reason is that the culture, no. The reason is that the church, no. The reason is sin is what hinders the filling of the Holy Spirit. And obedience to God is how the filling of the Spirit is maintained. It's not praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit that accomplishes the filling. Our obedience to God's commands is what allows the Spirit the freedom to work within us. Because we're still infected with sin, it's impossible to be filled with the Spirit all the time. So when we sin, we should immediately confess it to God and renew our commitment to being Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. We're finishing up here. Again, this is just week two. We're going to cover how it happens next week. The term filled refers to influence, power, control, or possession. It basically means to be controlled by, possessed by, in this case, by the Spirit. To be controlled or filled or possessed all mean the same thing. It's talking about the same thing. Let's not choke on the hors d'oeuvres and try to parse words here. When people are filled with anger or rage, they're possessed by anger, they're possessed by rage, and it'll seek expression in some way. Same thing with the Spirit. The same thing with bitterness. It's ready to express itself. Bitter people are not easy to be around, are they? You could think of it in positive or negative terms. I was filled with gratitude. I was filled with joy. I was filled with sorrow. You see this sort of filling in the book of Acts all over the place where the disciples were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit, or the Pharisees were filled with rage, or the disciples were filled with sorrow because Jesus said he was going away. He's talking about being under control of the Holy Spirit. Let me just turn to Acts 13. So many verses that I referred to in concept here that we didn't read that are in your notes. Acts 13, verse 52 says it this way, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Now, there's three nuances of this Greek word, pleirao. Pleirao. But when we think of fill, we might think of water being poured into a glass, right? We think, fill her up, like filling a gas tank. But this Greek word, pleirao, which is used here, a form of that word in Ephesians 5:18, has three shades of meaning that describe to us what it means to be Spirit-filled. The first one is it conveys the idea of pressure. Pressure. Can we say pressure? Pressure. It's used to describe wind filling the sails of a ship. Wind filling the sails of a ship, moving the vessel across the water. Spiritually speaking, it's the Holy Spirit providing the thrust to move the believer down the pathway of obedience. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is the Lord who works in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. Filling your sails, right? To be filled with the Spirit means to be carried along by the gracious pressure of the Holy Spirit. You see, we feel that pressure one way or the other. We've got to be killing sin, or sin will be killing us. We've got to feel the fire of God's refining fire, or otherwise we'll feel that fire and go off into our unbelief. And we feel relief then, and we go back on that cycle again and 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 again. The opposite of that is being filled with the Spirit instead of grieving the Spirit. You're either being filled with the Spirit or you are grieving the Spirit. Either, you know what, I said this before and I'll say it again. Mama ain't happy, no one's happy. Happy wife, happy life. If the most important thing in you is the most important thing in the universe, God himself, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he lives in you, not that you cut yourself open and Casper comes out, metaphysically, God's living with you. God's living, I'm trying to speak to all the eggheads here. If that's the most important thing, and down in the depths of your soul, you're fighting against God, is that going to come out? Yeah. If you're obeying God and you're doing things, is that going to come out? Right? So you're either grieving the Spirit or you are being filled with the Spirit. Make sense? All right. You're being wise or you're being unwise. Okay. To be filled with the Spirit means to be carried along by His gracious pressure. That wind filling your sails. See, we think pressure and we think down, dark, no condemnation, hit me with a hammer. Why don't we think of it this way, filling the sails? When you are filling up that mattress, that air mattress that you got to sleep on because all the kids came over, you're hoping that the pressure is good. When you go to somebody else's house and you're used to living in a certain county or whatever, you're hoping the water pressure is good, right? Otherwise, you just don't feel clean. That's me. So pressure. The second idea it conveys is permeation. Can you hear me? Permeation. It's like salt permeating the meat to flavor and preserve it. You know what it's like? It's like plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. When you drop that Alka-Seltzer into the water, all the water is permeated by the distinct flavor of Alka-Seltzer. I'm not going to eat, drink that because it tastes like that. Or like you put an anchovy, Dan, on the pizza is ruined. Except for you that like the anchovies. When you yield to the control of the Holy Spirit, His influence permeates how we think, how we feel. Yes, I said how we feel. How we see things and how we make choices. But there's a third way that it conveys. The word plerao conveys the idea, again, of control. Luke 5:26 says it this way. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe. Filled with awe. Same word there. Same form of that word. Plerao. They were filled with awe. They were controlled by saying, we have seen extraordinary things this day. They were filled with awe. They wouldn't then go, ah, geez, that's nothing. They were filled with awe. The first time you saw your favorite basketball player or you went to that concert and saw Katy Perry or whoever, you were filled with, I'll say lust, but anyway. You were filled with something. It was controlling you. You were thinking about it. You were excited about it. You were waiting for your husband to come off that plane back from Afghanistan or Iraq, and your children, they were filled with joy, filled with that. Or something tragic happened in your life, and you're filled with sorrow. It guides you. It controls you. Luke 6:11 says it this way, but they were filled with fury and disgust with one another how they might, what they might do to Jesus. They were filled with something. John 16:6 says it this way, but because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. In other words, it indicates an emotion so overwhelming that people, they were dominated by it. When you're filled with the Spirit, it means He's dominating you. And it's a continual process. It's like, you know what? Man, every time I'm around that guy, all he wants to do is talk about Jesus. Yeah. Man, he turns everything into some kind of preaching thing. And I always have to say, don't preach at me. Yeah. By the way, I never say don't preach at me because that's my life. And so there you go. Your life ought to preach, amen? When you're filled with the Spirit, when you're being filled with the Spirit, it does. We say you can't have any fun. Not at all. We talked about that last week. We'll talk about it again next week. It can be a joy, a real joy. And then you can enjoy the things of life in their proper proportion. You can ride the roller coaster, go see the movie, and eat something good like a cheese piece of cheesecake. But is it going to control us? Or is the Spirit going to control us? And when the Spirit's controlling us, we can enjoy the good things that God gives us in His grace and His mercy, and it really doesn't hinder us at all. Amen. You see, this isn't some sort of control where our personality is erased. It isn't a cookie-cutter manifestation that looks exactly the same in each of our lives. One Jesus, many faces. Amen. But when we're being filled with the Spirit, it's evident that He is the one that's in control of our life. Where most people would go this way, the Spirit-filled person, the one that's wanting to be filled, keep on being filled, they're going this way. They may have to be swimming hard and fast against the tide of the culture and the tide of what everybody else is saying, but they are seeking God. Again, the issue in being filled with the Spirit is not the problem of getting more of the Spirit. It's the issue of the Spirit getting more of Christians. This is the Holy Spirit leading, influencing, and controlling our lives. That is the meaning of being filled with the Spirit. Father, Lord, we know that we can pray for You to give us these extraordinary providences and these sort of miraculous fillings where in a moment we have this event where we just feel your joy and love and it's poured out in our hearts once again, like Romans 5:5 says, or like we do see in the Bible. And we do have those things happen to us, and we do want those things. But Lord, we know that when we ask for things, you give us some unexpected answers. And if we ask for patience, here it comes. When we ask that we be more like you, we often think that means we want to turn water into wine, but usually it's our wine turns into water. And what we know is, Lord, we want to be more submissive to you and walk by you. You force us to do things that we don't want to do, proving our submission. So, Lord, do test us to show us where in our lives we are being filled with the Spirit, and what rooms do we have closed off? What parts of our heart do we have not being ministered to you by you? And help us to be open to them, that we might be most satisfied with you, that you might be most glorified through us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.